Well, we'll see you Wednesday night.
And Thursday night.
If you have a chance to see it, Gary.
I'm not.
I just hope it doesn't go to Friday morning.
I saw it, but I didn't notice the pattern.
Yeah.
It's about as red as Supervisor Alverman's shirt there.
I'll see it.
Be dark off.
Sounds like Bert and Ernie were doing it if they call, you know, the day before.
Cookie Monster.
While it's curing and say, which pattern do you want?
Yeah, literally.
And then they don't have the pattern that you want. Excuse me. Well, we have a quorum. We have Supervisor Skolitsky and Supervisor Grady excused. So we'll call the meeting to order. We have no youth and governance here. We have two meeting minutes to approve. Supervisor Poole, Supervisor Frederick, Supervisor Alverman are in attendance. Minutes from 10:06 and 10:13 that we've had presented to us. Does everyone have a chance to?
Motion to approve both.
Moved by Supervisor Frederick. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Poole to approve the minutes of the 13th and the 6th. Any other discussion? Otherwise, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So minutes are approved. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. I think I not so much comments, but a question. I had two questions. Jim, every once in a while I get contacted by the troops. We had flag down today, and there were, maybe Gary, you know about this, or maybe neither of you do. Could be a personnel thing. But in line today, apparently, when they were all checking out, or somebody was grumbling about a deferred payment option. Deferred payment, that's how it was put to me. They're paid apparently for 52 weeks, and they would be paid for 51 and have 1 week deferred. You know anything about anything like that, Gary?
No, I said
I haven't heard of it.
I'll find out and see what it is. When you say troops, can you point me in the direction of who it might have been coming from? I don't care if it's a name or.
No, it was, I wouldn't know the name. It was the guys working here as they were checking out, grumbling about hearing about this.
Oh, okay.
A deferred payment option or plan that the maybe not the administration, maybe personnel. I said I hadn't heard a thing.
I'll check with personnel and send you guys an email if I find out what it is. How about that?
Then the other thing that this same disgruntled person told me was, look in the salt shed. I said, what do you mean, look in the salt shed? We don't have any salt. And I said, well, Gary says we're fine with salt. So are we fine with salt?
No.
We're not?
No. I was going to talk about it on my report, but I can be happy to talk now if you'd like.
Oh, if you'd like to wait, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll wait. Okay. So that's all I have. Anything from the committee?
One thing, you may know all this stuff off the top of your head, is when I was out talking to people this last month, and I mentioned the fact that we're looking at Highway S doing some construction. They're like, is there any way we can get a breakdown of what years, like Highway S is going to be redone, Highway 158, Highway 50, you know, when they all plan on doing that? Because all three of those actually go right through to my district.
Yes and no. I can give you information on Highway S. The state projects, none of those are currently scheduled for.
They're not scheduled. Okay.
They're pending approval of funding their very high cost projects, and they're, because of that, the funding sources have not been determined yet. So they've not. But Highway S, we are looking at optimistically 2018 for construction. It's more likely that it'll go into 2019, though. So that's the best I can tell you for construction.
No, no, they were just, they're seeing all this with all the repaving and got the, now what's the state going to do? Repave, you know, they thought they would have trouble getting out. They're like, I'll find out the schedule of what's going on with the different roads.
Yeah, yeah. And all of those type of projects, including Highway S, there are, there's an extensive public informational process where all of the people particularly directly impacted by the project along Highway S or 50 or 158 would have an opportunity to participate in the project. So there, it just hasn't started yet. We haven't even begun the engineering phase on the Highway S project yet, so it's got a ways to go. It's got to run its course. So.
I realized that when I mentioned that that was coming up, then a couple of people were interested. Now, how is all this going to play with the other ones? And I just said I'd ask.
Yeah, and there'll be plenty of opportunity for all of those people to participate in the project during the engineering phase of the project. So far before the construction, or years before the construction ever takes place, they'll be well informed of what's going to happen and how it will individually affect them.
Okay. So 4 years from now.
Mr. Chairman, I might have an idea on that payroll thing that you were asking about, that the employees had talked to you about. At the finance meeting last week, there was a personnel department was talking about extending the January pay periods by 5 days each, so that employees are paid 10 or 14 days after the end of the pay period. I think that's what they were talking about. They're just trying to adjust so they get paid just a little bit later, so they have more time to look at the pay cards and stuff like that.
Well, maybe Jimmy can still look at
it. I've heard something about that, too. I'll find out. I'm typing an email to them right now, so I'll find out in the morning and email you guys.
Good deal. Anything else from the committee? If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to speak would have 5 minutes if there's problem with that length. I can always extend that, and what we ask you to do is to give your name and address, and address the committee on matters that would pertain to parks, highways, golf facilities. Any citizens wish to speak?
Yeah. All right. Hi, I'm Colleen Fish, and I am on the Bristol Village Board. I'm here with Carolyn Owens, who is also on the Bristol Village Board. But more importantly, you should know we are here on behalf of every elected member of the Bristol Village Board. We have a unanimous request, and we are here to ask for your help as a committee. We're hoping you can help us. We have an issue that I don't think you are at all aware of in Bristol with a highway project on Highway U. And so I brought some materials that I feel I should give to you, since you're not familiar with it in all likelihood. At least you'll have an idea of what we're talking about. But basically, on Highway U, we have Uline building their next warehouse. I don't know if you guys have been by there lately. The Village of Bristol worked very hard with Uline to come up with a plan for them to go ahead and do what they needed to do, while at the same time protecting the rural character of the community. Uline is very much on board with that. And now that they've started this phase, they are being asked to remove all of the street trees, the 100-year-old historic oak street trees, in favor of widening ditches. However, we have many, many issues with this plan. And just so that you know, it is not just the Village of Bristol who wants to protect the trees. Uline Corporation and the owner of Uline Corporation want to see these street trees protected. So it is not something that just the village is requesting. Uline is also on board with doing this. Now, apparently, obviously, we have a highway department, and Gary is stuck working with the rules that are down, and so his understanding is that these trees would have to go based on his rules. However, if you take a look at the package and you look at the trees, you will see these are not just any old tree. More importantly, if you go to the second package, you will see tons of information, including from the Federal Highway Administration, saying that historic trees, when the community wants to protect them, should be protected and they should work with the community. And since Uline is willing to work with the department, and the village is willing to work with the department, it's our hope that you will help us reach some sort of policy decision. Basically, we're here to ask you as a committee, because this is a political and policy decision, to put a hold on the destruction of the historic trees until you as a committee can decide what you want your political or policy procedure to be when it comes to historic trees. Now, in fairness to our highway department, he's just doing what he's supposed to do. They're not going to dispute that. This is not a personal issue. But as a policy decision, when we have all the citizens working hard to protect property values, and we know that historic street trees help to raise and protect property values, you have a lot of upset people when we're removing these trees. I included a bunch more information, but basically, my understanding is we have an issue where they want to widen the ditches for a possible expansion of the road, which may not happen for 20 years. But I have to point out that other counties have worked around historic trees, and they just adjust the ditches, and they don't widen it at the one spot. That's important in this case because these trees are upland oaks. They're not down where they're going to be affecting water. They're up at the top. So the ditching issue doesn't apply here. The other issue we have is, you know, the widening, which again, south of this, it's going to be residential. There's no plans for any commercial. There's not going to be a four-lane truck traffic going through here. We may have a roundabout. We may have turn lanes added to the north at the intersection. But these historic trees to the south should have no impact on that whatsoever. Of course, it's been pointed out to me that they want the ditches done by Uline because Uline's paying for it. Makes sense. But Uline's willing to do the ditches and leave the trees and ditch around. So I guess we would like your help in terms of what tools do you as a county have to protect historic trees when communities are going to be devastated. In this case, you could say, well, new highway construction says new trees should not be planted there. Possibly true. However, these are existing historic trees, and the Federal Highway Administration says you can put up safety measures like a guardrail. Take care of the problem. I'm confident that with Uline's help, we can afford to put in a guardrail or whatever else we need to do to protect the trees and protect the traffic. The question is, we may not have the tools as a county because of our current regulations. So we're kind of here to say, please, committee, help us. Right now, we just need to stop action on the trees and give you guys a chance to research this and figure out what are we able to do as a community to save the trees before we go. Like I said, the entire village board is unanimous. Our citizens are very clear about these trees. Uline Corporation is very clear on these trees. If our highway department has their hands tied, then I want to put a hold on it so that we can look at why are the department's hands tied? Why can't the department be flexible? What rules are preventing them from being creative and proactive? Again, this affects our property values. We've worked really hard as a community to be going in an upscale direction. We've been doing very well at that. And street trees are very, very important. So the second package is just a bunch of things that I found on the internet today. If you look at it, I highlighted some of it. But the point is, these trees do matter. As a matter of fact, somebody pointed out, in a perfect world, if the county had an unlimited budget and money was growing on trees, this is exactly the kind of street tree you'd want. Mature, beautiful oaks, lined up in a row. These are beautiful trees. And there's no reason we can't be creative. Other counties are creative. Other municipalities are creative. Right now, yes, it's a rural highway, but the truth is you're coming right up to a stop sign or a future roundabout. Those highway speeds are going to be reduced. It's becoming more suburban. So the argument that they're too close to the road for a highway doesn't really hold water because it's going to be suburban in nature, not highway. And the other thing I was going to point out, which you guys do highway stuff, At the very end is an article here, which you guys might want to take a look at. This is all the buzz all over the country this week, that the federal highway lane widths are more dangerous than they should be. So on top of this issue that's local to us is the national issue of the NTSB road highway widths may be changing in the next year or two to narrow them, because they're finding they're more dangerous than a narrower road, which means that we're destroying historic trees for a possible widening that may not be the width that we think it's going to be, because by the time we do it, it might be narrowed and those trees would have been fine on top of everything else. So I hope I haven't driven you nuts, but I wanted you to be aware of the issue. We want your help. The Village of Bristol and Uline are asking for your help just to ask for this to be halted until you guys can make some sort of political decision. I believe many of you are elected also, and I've spoken to several board members, the ones I could get a hold of, who said they're in favor of protecting the trees. So I'm hoping you guys will do something, whatever it is you're able to do, to put a pause on this so that we can examine the issue as a county, if that makes any sense.
Thank you. Here, I guess my first question on this would be, it looks like I see a sill fence up and construction has started there.
The berm.
Correct, yes.
Correct.
On their berm.
Yeah, that's the grading phase of the expansion project on Uline.
On the new building.
Yeah.
So when is the road work to begin?
Actually, this issue has nothing to do with any road work that's proposed to be on Highway U. In fact, we have no plans whatsoever to widen Highway U.
Okay.
That's not accurate whatsoever. The trees that are shown here and any trees that were scheduled to be removed were a part of a plan that Uline developed as part of their grading plan. They submitted to us for review. They proposed to put a ditch between the shoulder and the berm for drainage purposes. There's a considerable amount of water that drains from across the street on from the west side of Highway U to the east side, and the plan that was developed by Uline and submitted to me for review included removal of all of those trees and construction of a ditch between the existing shoulder and the berm. And the berm construction and height was something that apparently was determined by Uline and Village of Bristol. In order to construct that berm, there's only a limited amount of room between the edge of the shoulder and that berm to,
right,
to properly construct the ditch. So all of the trees needed to be removed in order to construct the ditch.
The ditch.
It was not Kenosha County's, we did not participate in the plan development whatsoever involving the ditch, the berm, the trees, any part of this project. It was a plan that was developed by Uline and submitted to us requesting a permit to work on the highway right away. This, in Uline, my initial reaction to all of these type of projects is to save the trees, and in fact, because the village administrator and I worked with Uline to at least save part of the trees. A number of other trees and brush were already cut down as part of this project, but we talked to Uline and said, let's try to salvage the more quality trees. That's why those ones that are remaining are there. After seeing these trees, Uline contacted me again, requesting that they be allowed to build this as their plan indicated, showing all the trees removed and the ditch constructed. They've are still at this time requesting this project be built according to the original plans, and based on the plans that they submitted, I've recommended that they proceed with that plan because of the implications to the drainage and the potential safety problem that any obstacle like a tree creates when it's alongside a highway.
So
it was not our idea whatsoever to remove these trees. It was completely new lines.
Excuse me here. When you are looking at this picture that I'm looking at,
mm-hmm.
Which side is the west?
The west is the right side, and the east is the side with the trees on.
You're saying the water comes from the west to the east?
It goes and through, yeah, it does in cross culverts, yes.
Cross culverts. So now with the creation of this berm and construction that's happening on the other side of that berm, mm-hmm. we have to stop that water.
The water needs to flow down a ditch, and then it goes into a new retention pond that Uline is building on their property.
Which would be down the road this way?
This way, towards us, obviously, this side of the hill. Down at the corner of Highway Q and U, they're building a new retention
pond. Q and U. So these trees that we're seeing at the crest of the hill, and then in the other picture at the bottom of the hill. Well, naturally, my limited knowledge is that the trees are too close to the road to change the ditch line. You could not change that ditch line and not kill those trees, so I would say that Uline would have to submit a new plan, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we've requested that to be done, and they determined that it wasn't feasible and that the trees would need to be removed.
Okay. Yes?
If you just would look at the last picture of the trees, again, the ditch work would not affect the top of the hill. There's no way the water comes up from the east side and rolls uphill to where these trees are. This ditch does not need to be altered. And I don't mean to contradict what Gary has said, because I don't know what Gary's heard, but that is the exact opposite of what I was told. I was told for safety reasons there could not be trees within this right-of-way of any kind, and I was told that the highway was forcing Uline to remove them, and that county was the one forcing the issue.
And that is absolutely, couldn't be more false.
Okay. Right. So here's what you need to do, is you need to... I'm positive, if Gary's telling me this evening, you need to contact Uline. And Uline does not want to alter their grading plan. They've told Gary they don't. And that's the way it's here this evening.
Okay. If I could just respectfully add, though, that regardless of these particular trees and regardless of Uline and us having completely opposite stories about what's going on with these trees,
right.
In general, Kenosha County does not have a strategy to deal with protecting historic trees, period. You don't. Our highway department's real cut and dry. It's within this many feet, we bulldoze everything. End of story. We were told specifically that Gary informed our administrator that he would not accept this road unless they cut down these trees because of safety, which is bunk according to the Federal Highway Administration, who says that you can do things and that you can't be expected to remove every tree. Also, regarding safety of trees, you'd have to clear cut every county rural road in this county to meet safe standards. I mean, you might as well go live in Arizona if we're gonna cut down every street tree. It's insane. And on top of it, again, obviously the widening, he is now saying, is not an issue, which is great news for us.
We're not widening the road.
No.
Well, that's a great news for us, but still, then you're talking about different highway standards when you're going 55 miles an hour as opposed to when these speeds get dropped down to 45 and 35, right, which is the future, in which case those trees are not too close to the road. They're not a safety risk. And again, we're back at moot point. But in general, the county doesn't, and again, I don't think the county gives Gary enough tools to be flexible or gives Gary a mandate, hey, we want to protect our historic street trees. As a matter of fact, the county doesn't really do street trees because everything on the county is based on keeping everything away from the street and building as big and wide as we can. So in general, I still would love to have this committee do something in terms of you guys examining the issue of what you want the roads to look like around here. Most of us moved out here because of the rural beauty and because we want to have the rural environment. Clear cutting and bulldozing just doesn't fit with what our citizens want.
And that's definitely something Kenosha County hasn't done. My family's owned the same piece of property for 160 some years in Salem Township. So, and we saw the same oak trees right next to Highway F there. So, I mean, the county hasn't done that, but Uline is an expanding company that requested a drainage situation and berming. According to Gary, they were given options, and they want to go and proceed with this option of removing these trees.
So if I could just ask Gary, are you telling me that if Uline says that they will adjust their berm plan to compensate for the drip line, and if they don't need to do a drainage ditch on the other side, that you're not requiring them to cut down the trees?
I specifically told them in the most recent email that if they can come up with an innovative and effective way to save those trees, that they should do it.
Okay, because my understanding is nothing they're doing right now should impact those trees. The only thing that they would do differently is they back up their berm because they have to be out of the drip line or they'll kill the roots. So they would, the berm wouldn't be as high in the one spot where the trees are, I guess. But so I guess there's some communication issues because that
there
is.
There sure is.
Because that's definitely.
That is not what we're being told.
No. And if I could ask you, would you be willing to give us the name of the contact on that email?
I'll be willing to give you the email.
No, that's fine. No issue whatsoever.
You can see specifically
okay.
what I've told
you. No, I believe what you're saying is true. It's just that we're caught in the middle. We're
sure.
hearing this and we're hearing this,
sure.
and it's like.
So. We just want a solution that protects
sure. yeah.
the trees.
Yeah.
We'd like to keep the trees too. Gary would like that to even be involved in.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have to weigh the benefit to
yeah.
the highway and the
right.
public. There is a safety, I mean, there's a safety issue with these trees there, and it's not that we go out and cut every tree down because it's a potential safety
yeah.
issue, but to say that these don't present a safety issue to motorists is not true, because they do, just like every thousands of other trees along the highway. And there is a benefit to the highway to have that ditch there. So there is a benefit to the highway to do what Uline is proposing to do. And I'm recommending that they do build that ditch according to their plan, because there is no other alternative presented to me.
Okay, but if they give you an alternative that protects the trees and only ditches in the other areas, you would be okay with protecting the trees?
As long as the ditch is going to meet up, you know, do what it's going to do.
Correct.
Okay,
okay.
I got it.
Because I understand your water issues, but
yep.
those are uphill. You don't have a water issue.
Well,
on top
at the
of
crest
that hill.
Of the hill, correct. But that the vast majority of the
okay.
trees are located in areas that aren't at the crest of the hill.
But you can't have a puddle of water across the road down there, especially in the winter.
We should point out all of the statistics show that street trees suck up a lot of water,
well,
6 to 8%. So
I find
they
it
might be a good thing.
I find it interesting that the president of Uline is for saving the trees, and somewhere down the path here, someone else is saying, cut them.
Right.
I find that very interesting that it, from here to there, there's a problem.
Well, the president is in favor of that, but he's also telling someone down the line to get this project done.
Right.
And
we
understand that.
So I guess the question is, I guess we're not clear on exactly what, I mean, Gary's saying there's a safety issue, but if that's not really an issue, then what are the trees doing that's so terrible? That's
well, here's where I'm going to cut this off.
Okay.
Because it's under citizens' comments.
Yeah, that's fine.
And Gary has told you the only plan submitted to Kenosha County he has accepted.
Okay.
So until Uline submits another plan, we can't accept another plan.
Okay.
And we have, in fact, not issued the permit yet at
right.
this point.
So Uline is telling you one thing, or your contacts are, and they're agreeing to something else. So, and this committee would certainly welcome entertaining anything, but Gary's hands aren't tied. When people submit a plan to Kenosha County, whether it be for a septic system or putting a foundation in somewhere, that's the plan they submit. ULINE hasn't submitted another plan.
Okay, that's what we want to find out. Can I just send you an email tomorrow and get that information from you? Because we want to pursue this, because something's not matching up here.
Sure is not.
No, it's not. That's why we're here on a fact.
We thank you very much.
But thank you so much.
And especially for the, I asked, and this was great.
You did ask for phone.
Yes, thank you very much.
I almost got killed by Gary.
You got my email?
Oh, I definitely do.
But I'll take it. I'll add it to my stack here. I had one. I know I've.
We have a new mailing address, if nothing else.
Ah, okay. Yep, I'll put it on the file here. Well, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
And hopefully this will get resolved.
Yes.
Any other citizens' comments? If not, we'll move on to our agenda. Jonathan Rudy is on his yearly November hunting trips, and he is excused absence. He's on vacation. So, I don't know, do we have a director's report from John? It's in our packet. I read it already. Does anybody have any questions on that? Anything? Accept John's report.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
All right, we'll move on to golf. Dan.
Well, I'm happy to report that once again, Petrifying Springs won the best golf course in the Kenosha News Readers area. Brightondale also took third place behind Kenosha Country Club, and this is the second year in a row that we received these outstanding reviews, so that's great. Unfortunately, you know, with rounding revenue, we are still down, but you know, we are working hard to keep our expenses in line, and you know, we're ahead of pace on and merchandise sales is way up this year, so that's good too. October 25th and 6th, we had a great weekend. We had the Halloween Horror at Brightondale Links. We sold out. Saturday, we had 84 participants on Sunday, which were awesome. And then this last weekend, we had the Brightondale Open. We had 120 participants, up from like, I think there was 72 last year. Sign up for it, but we had 116 that actually played Saturday in that weather, you know, so that was really great to see. You know, when the weather's nice, we sure are busy, you know, but and we do offer a lot of things that our guests are looking for. So, you know, it's really encouraging to see that those tournaments have that type of participation. When we first took over, you know, the Halloween Horror was 1 day, now it's 2 days, and to have over 200 players in that event and such positive comments, and also the Brightondale Open, to grow it, you know, that much in 1 year was tremendous. We have completed all the core aerification of all the golf courses that we're going to do this year. We did the blue, the red, and Petrifying Springs. We'll be doing the white birch next spring, so we can have 18 holes at all times that aren't aerified. We completed the last little bit of paving on the white, this is hole number 17, and another staging area for the golf cars around the clubhouse, and Highway Department did a really nice job doing that, so that really should help out for staging carts for outings and daily play. And, you know, overall, things are really going well when the weather's decent.
Any questions for Dan? One thing that has come up this week, during budget hearings, for the past 2 years, we've had discussion about alcohol sales out at the golf course. We, at the Finance Committee, had further discussions and requested to keep pursuing this as a county board. And I had some contacts this week with a corporation that has, I think it's 7 establishments in the Chicago area, and one in Silver Lake. He was having coffee in Silver Lake, read the Kenosha News, and saw that and was given my phone number by my insurance agent in Silver Lake. And we had a conversation, and he said he's very interested. He said they meet the criteria, and they'd be very interested in both golf courses. So I'm going to give that information to the, to Jim here. And then who puts out the RFPs purchasing?
I'll make sure that they get one. Yep. Yeah.
When and if we decide to do this again, this sounds like the type of qualified group. They own part of Wrigleyville, and they own, like I said, about 6 or 7 establishments, and they're into catering and that type of business. So, and he remodeled and has the what's called the Silver Lake Marina there in Silver Lake for the last 7 years. So he's very interested, and he gave me his information again today. I spoke to him a week ago, so that's a positive thing that I'm sure the chairman will enjoy hearing in the finance department. So that's on golf. So now we'll move on to facilities.
Mr. Chairman, on the 60th Street Tower, we planted the trees. We did that in-house with Mike's guys, and the asphalt driveway with Gary's crew, so we're trying to get the new tower completed here. For the old tower, we've got everything in line. Contractor purchasing has got the contracts together and everything, and we're scheduling the demo of the work for November 10th.
Good. City gave us okay.
The contractor has got everything with the permits. I was hoping to get a confirmation today, but they did some initial contacts with them and didn't think it would be an issue.
Cool.
Doesn't have to go through the boards or anything like that. Moving on to KCAB, we do have a little bit of a schedule update. We're looking for November 21st for substantial completion. That's all the main work and getting all the scaffolding stuff out of the way, having the entrances completely open. The end of November 31st for punchless completion. One of those things would be fine-tuning of the controls for the HVAC, because we replaced all the HVAC units, the rooftop unit, and the Queen Mary evaporative cooler on the back, so to dial all that in. Just the roofing's in progress, canopy work's in progress. The new north entrance, which is the employee entrance, is completely redone, and also will have an ADA ramp on there. Any questions?
Okay, Mike?
Just a couple to close out the year. It's winding down fast for us. At Brookside, we've got the hallway can light replacement project. Put out bids and received a low one from BBC Lighting for $11,200. Fixtures were delivered immediately. I wanted his money bad. Project was $63,000. The lights were $11,200. So we saved $51,800. And additionally, we had focus on energy rebates of $23,850. So in the end, we saved $54,185 on that project. And that's mostly because of the competitive bidding process purchasing and the fact that we're doing in-house with our electrician. So those factors add up to save a lot. Anything on that?
Nope.
Detention center project, I just list the replacement sliding detention doors. 6 out of 22 are done. That's all we had scheduled for this year. 16 remain. We're gonna do those in 2015. We made property storage carousels, going to start soon. We got a little bit of 34.9 from a company called Washburn. We have to do some ceiling sprinkler work for 7, and that'll button up that project. Countywide projects are just positions within facilities. HVAC position, we've got 10 applications I've just reviewed today. There's really only one candidate we want to interview, and I'm not too high on that, so we'll see where it goes. Custodial positions, we're interviewing for a part-time position at Brookside and then establishing a hiring list.
Yeah.
That's it.
Question? No. All right.
You want to do it or you want?
I don't know. Whatever.
Well, I'll start off. We were talking a little bit about this before. Along the 56th Street outside of the courthouse and in front of the administrative building, the city of Kenosha installed sidewalk, and it's this stamped concrete that has a design on it. And currently the county does not have the proper equipment to be able to plow this type of stamped concrete. We need a certain kind of a snow blower that has special, is it Teflon coated?
Poly blade. Shoes.
And a salter that's of a certain width. And so we need this equipment in order to be able to remove snow off of this sidewalk. And if the decision to use that type of stamped concrete matches the city's plan for what it has downtown, we really didn't have any choice. Well, we had a couple choices. We could use the stamped concrete. We could put grass in there, which would have been crazy. We would have been killing the grass all the time. And I don't think there was an alternative to use regular concrete. So that's what they wanted to do. So we have the responsibility of cleaning the sidewalk, so we need this equipment to do that. We have some leftover money from a few other projects that are completed, and we'll just transfer some of that unused money in to pay for this new snow blower and salter. No additional borrowings needed.
What do we use to clean the sidewalks now in front of them?
We use a skid steer with a bucket.
Skid steer with a bucket?
Yeah.
Never a
broom or?
Broom?
No. No, the bad thing is it's a wide sidewalk. It's a regular 5-foot walk right on the grass, and then the stamped concrete is another 6-foot, I believe, Frank, wide. Yeah, which is to the curb.
It's that wide?
Yeah, the whole front.
The other day.
That part was supposed to be grass. It normally would be grass.
The other day when I was parked there, it looked like it was about 2 feet.
Along the west side of the
From the courthouse?
Yeah. The west side would be that way.
South side of the courthouse?
South side is...
Unless they cut
it's all... at least 5. I thought it was about 6.
Unless they cut some last week.
Yeah, could be.
Definitely on the west side, it's not 6 feet.
No, that's where it's two and a half. That's where you saw that. And they haven't poured that yet.
Mm-hmm. Motion to approve resolution.
Been moved to approve the resolution. The Finance Committee has approved it.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the resolution. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries. We will need to sign this evening. And Gary.
We mentioned the situation with salt, which is a bit concerning at this point. We purchased all of the salt that we use on the county highways on a statewide bid through the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. They bid it all out, arranged for the delivery of the salt to the docks in Milwaukee, of which has happened. We have 12,000 tons of salt up on the dock in Milwaukee right now, which would be our needs for the season. There is according to the salt company, a delivery problem getting trucks. They claim that there are no trucks available to deliver the salt from the dock in Milwaukee to the various domes throughout all of southeastern Wisconsin. So what I'm talking about is not just Kenosha County, it's every county. Kenosha, Walworth, Racine, Milwaukee, Walworth, the whole, everywhere. They claim there are no trucks available because they're busy on all these construction projects that are occurring. So they have delivered no salt to us. Like I said, we have 12,000 tons up there that need to be delivered to us for our season. We currently have about 1,600 tons left over from last year, which would carry us, depending on the season, at least through the month of November and probably into December, maybe a week or two, depending on the weather, of course. But the salt company is by contract supposed to have all of our salt delivered by November 15th. So they have some time to try to make up the lack of delivery, but it's impossible. If they had every truck in all of the state of Wisconsin, they'd never get all the salt delivered to all of these counties. So I'm not sure what is going on. I mean, we're trying to, I've talked personally on the phone to some of the trucking companies in the local area, and they're telling me if they need trucks, we'll get them trucks. So something's going on. I don't know what between the salt company and the trucking industry, but the bottom line is, as of right now, we've had no salt deliveries, and it appears that they're not going to be able to comply with the contract, which says it's all supposed to be delivered by November 15th. Worst case scenario, we could send our trucks up there to get the salt, and we've talked to the salt company about that. And they've offered to take $4 a ton off of the cost of the salt if we pick it up. We determined that it would cost us about $15 a ton to actually truck it. So it's certainly not in our best interest to not send our trucks there unless we absolutely have to. We would if we absolutely have to, but at this point, we're not going to. We're going to have to wait it out and see what happens between the salt company and the trucking industry, and hopefully that whatever differences they have, they'll work them out and get the salt here. So, because the trucking salt is part of the per ton price we pay. So, you know, if we send our trucks up there, we're losing money. They're making money, and I'm not going to do that. And you know, it's not fair to the taxpayers to for us to do something like that. So that's the situation, and it's the exact same with the state salt. The state purchases their own salt and has it delivered to us. We got no state salt either, and they're in more dire straits than us. They have less than 1,000 tons of salt here, so. So it's same situation on state roads, and I have up to this point, I've not been too concerned. I'm day by day getting more concerned about it, though.
As we get into November,
yeah. Like I said, I mean, with 1,600 tons, we can certainly get through the end of the month unless something crazy happens like it did out on the East Coast. Hopefully. We'll be able to get by, or like I said, worst case scenario, we will start sending our trucks up there. But it's not fair to Kenosha County or any other county to have to absorb that kind of cost when it's the salt company's responsibility.
Do they have a penalty in their contract?
They do have a penalty. The penalty is, and this is a deal worked out between the state and the cell company as part of the bidding process. The penalty is that if they don't deliver the salt, we can buy it from anyone we want, and they will pay the difference in cost, which doesn't.
But there is no other salt to buy, right?
So it's a useless penalty.
Because from what I've heard, there is no other salt.
There is no other salt. No. It's North American Salt Company, and they pretty much dominate the area. Morton, I know, does some business in the area, but not much. I was hoping after last winter we wouldn't have to worry about salt again for a while, but here we are. We haven't even started. And stressed out over salt again. That was about all I had to report.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up. I didn't want to stress you anymore today.
You know, I was going to bring it up anyways because it's the other thing about the trucking is the cement shortage, and this is a real problem, and it's getting worse instead of better. In fact, from what I'm reading, they may not even be able to finish this project down at 5994. Right now, it's been sitting over 2 weeks. They've not been able to pour one yard of concrete.
You know their rebar is getting rusty.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, look, I was the other day. I said, I'm driving through there, and I said, that's the same rebar. And it's coated rebar. Mm-hmm. So it's not getting, but the joints do get. And you see a little of that red on it?
Yeah.
I saw that same rebar 3 weeks ago. It's been sitting there. So it's a cement shortage?
Portland cement, which is the most important ingredient when you're making concrete, there's a nationwide shortage, but primarily in the Midwest. And it's being rationed right now, and some projects are getting done, some aren't. I mean, there's still concrete trucks running around all over hauling concrete,
sure.
But it's very limited. And like I say, the project down here may or may not get done. The report I got today from the DOT was, it may not get done, and that's the first time I've ever seen that. So hopefully it will, but...
For those of you going back that way, you'll notice now by Woodlands there, all the turn lanes and everything, you'll see the green rebar, it's all sitting there, it's been stacked there for a long time. Not stacked, they've had it laid out.
Been over 2 weeks now since they've been able to get any cement to make their concrete with.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's actually getting worse, so...
It's just a
lot of odd things going on right now.
That'll be a huge pain in that for snow removal.
I don't know. I mean, I would hope that if in fact, it gets to be the end of the month, and if it's not done, then maybe they just put some asphalt in temporarily
to
or
fill
something
it in.
And fill it in, and then have to remove it. I mean, it'd be a horrendous waste of money, but it can't. It would be awful to stay like that over the winter.
Yeah.
So, a lot of oddities going on in the construction industry right now.
Anything else, Gary?
No, that's all.
All right. Well, anything, Joe? I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Move a second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Well, thank you, everyone. And
I'll get the bottom of that. There's